Good morning.
Good morning.
How you guys doing?
Good.
How you guys doing? Did you guys have good worship?
Yeah.
That's good. Sorry, I just got to let technology catch up to me here. Perfect. So this morning, we have a tough topic to cover. And like Caleb was just praying that, Lord, help us just look at it through his eyes, through his word, through the Bible. And that this morning is... John, can you help me out with the PowerPoint, maybe? There we go. Today's topic is homosexuality. So this is our second week in our new series, Did God Really Say?, where we're taking a brutally honest look at ideas and misconceptions that people have about the Bible. So this morning, we're tackling homosexuality. It's a very relevant topic right now. And we as Christians need to know where to stand and how to respond. It's so prevalent in our world and our society right now. You either already know of someone, you've had a conversation already with someone, or you will have in the very near future a conversation with someone regarding this topic, especially if you wave that flag that you're a Christian. As I'm sure you're all aware, last Friday, June 26th, the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 that banning same-sex marriage is unconstitutional, therefore overruling all state laws and giving the right for same-sex marriage across the United States. So our culture has put it at the forefront of everyone's mind and right in our face. Whether that's through TV shows, movies, news, businesses that you frequent that are either opposed or supporting it, and especially in the music culture today. So as Christians, it's right there in our face. It's right there at the forefront of society. So with that being said, I think it's crucial that we take the time to see what God has to say about this topic. In order to do that, we need to look at God's word. Society will try and tell you what God or Christians think about this topic. These assumptions have derived from years and years of Christians imposing their own ideas and opinions on this topic, and they do not stand true to God's word. Therefore, society has labeled all Christians as homophobes and believes that the only message we have in this arena is hate. So it's very important that we tackle this topic through the lens of God's word this morning. Before we get into it, let's pray. God, we need your presence this morning. Like we just sang in that song, Lord, we need you, Lord. Just have your way this morning. Help us to just block out any ideas or opinions that society's throwing at us, and help us to just really focus on your word this morning, Lord. Help us to open our hearts, open our minds to what you have for us this morning, Lord. We need your presence this morning, Lord. We need you to free our mind from any distractions that we have going on this week or something that happened this past week, Lord. Help us to really just lock into you. We want our hearts united with you this morning, Lord, especially as we tackle a topic such as this, Lord. I just pray that you come in power, that your will be done this morning. Lord, we just want to give this to you. We want to lift it up to you. We want you to get the glory and the praise and all of it. So we pray these things in your name. Amen. So to begin, I'd like to start with some verses that you can find throughout the Bible where God speaks of homosexuality. So if you take your handout that you have in your bulletin on the back, I have a whole list of verses that I'm going to be covering throughout this message. Take this home, put it on your fridge, put it in your pocket, use it as a resource. Like I said, conversation will come up. People are going to ask you what the Bible has to say. These verses are great verses that you can reference. So a lot of these verses are on the back there so you can follow along. So the first one, Romans 1, 26 through 28. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. The next verse you find in the Old Testament, Leviticus 18:22, do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman, that is detestable. And then this last one, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 10, it says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of those are pretty big words, so let me just clarify. Effeminate, this is also referring to male prostitution back in the day. Revilers, that's swindler or slanderers, and then swindlers are cheaters or thieves. So, moving on, before we really get into looking through all of these verses, you know, we're really not even going to dig deep into each of those verses this morning. I really don't need to. Some of you may get to the edge of your seat anxious and excited to dig into those. There's some of you that may shrink back and be afraid to dig into those. And then there's some people that would just be outright angry to go through some of those verses. But like I said, today we really don't need to dig deeper than these verses. What I am going to do is I'm going to use them as a springboard into the rest of the message. And to do that, we're going to find the common thread that's in throughout all of those verses. And that common thread is sin. We all know sin. Either you're sitting here today and you're a mature Christian and this is nothing new for you, or maybe you've heard of the word sin and you don't really know exactly the biblical definition or exactly what it is. So I think before we get any further, we really need to look at this definition and define what sin is. So here's a biblical definition of the word sin. It's transgression of the law of God or rebellion against God. See, God gives it to us clearly and we go and do the opposite. It's simply rejecting what God has said or done or who he is and turn and go the other way. It's falling short of God's holy, perfect standard. That's sin. So here's the deal. All of us have fallen into that camp of sin, just to let you know. We're all on the same playing field when it comes to sin. We're all born with a sinful flesh. We're all born with a sinful heart. We've all done it. Every single one of us is guilty of sinning. If you don't think so, I'd love to have a conversation with you afterwards to talk about that. And just to be clear, sin is sin. There's not one sin that's better or worse than the other. Sin is sin. It doesn't matter if it was a lie versus adultery. Doesn't matter if it's stealing versus committing murder. Sin is sin. We're all guilty of sin. We've all fallen short of God's holy standard. That's what it says in Romans 3:23. Bob just walked through a lot of this. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. So I could leave it at that, but I know there's some people that would love to argue that homosexuality is not a sin. But read again those verses out of 1 Corinthians 6 and Romans 1. God is describing homosexuality as an act that will cause you to not inherit the kingdom of God. Sin, as I just defined it, will keep us from inheriting the kingdom of God. What will keep us separated from God? What will stop us from inheriting the kingdom of God? What will land us in hell eternally? Sin. Praise God that we have a Savior that stepped in and took our sin upon him, our judgment. I'll get into that in a little bit. So now that we have a clear biblical definition of sin, sin is sin, and some of the verses describing homosexuality as sin, my first point, what does God think of homosexuals? Society is going to try and tell you that God hates homosexuals. we see the majority of society doesn't really have a clue what God thinks about homosexuals. But yet it's ironic that most of the world, most of our society, believers and unbelievers, know the most recognized Bible verse that there is, and that's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loves all people. It doesn't say that God only loved a certain group of people and therefore he was sending his Son to die on the cross for that select group of people. No, it says that God so loved the world, all of mankind. God sent his Son to die for the adulterers of this world. God sent his Son to die for the liars of this world, the thieves of this world, the murderers of this world. God sent his Son to die on the cross for the homosexuals of this world. God loves all people. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. As believers, we love to read this verse and say, thank you, God, because we say that because we know this verse applies to ourselves. We once were lost and now we're found. We know what our old self was, and we thank God that he saved us when we were rebellion against God. But see, it doesn't stop there. God didn't give up on you and I. He's definitely not giving up on the adulterers, the homosexuals, the murderers, the liars of this world. The unbelievers that are here today, I want this verse to sink in deep. Please hear these words of God. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God did not call down from heaven and say, I will not send you a savior until you clean up your life and you have it all figured out. You can't do that on your own. Your heart is broken. You were born sinful. And only God can renew that sinful heart. God knows that you cannot do it on your own. He sent you a savior. He gave you his word. He wants you just as you are today. Let him be the one that changes you from the inside out. You will not be able to do it on your own. He wants you right where you're at today. So in our wickedness and sin and rebellion against God, God still wanted us to enter into a saving relationship with him. Why would he not want the same for homosexuals? And that's my next point. What does God think of homosexuals? They're people that need to be saved. 1 Timothy 2:3 and 4 says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires all mankind to come to a saving relationship with him. It doesn't matter if they're homosexual, pedophile, murderer, rapist, pornographer. The list goes on and on and on. It doesn't matter what sin they are currently a slave to. To God, they are all people that need to be saved. They are a sinner and they need a savior. Without a savior and without repenting of their sin, God's judgment is eternal damnation, hell. Looking back at those verses in 1 Corinthians 6 where Paul was describing who will not inherit the kingdom of God, the very next verse, Paul says this in verse 11. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. See, just as you and I were once destined for hell and we were a part of that list, there is hope for homosexuals. There is hope for the sinner. This verse implies that there were people in the church in Corinth that were at one time homosexuals, and they were saved. They were washed, sanctified, justified. God's word is as relevant today as it was when Paul said these words to the church in Corinth. There are ex-homosexuals today that this verse applies to, just as it did to that church in Corinth. So what does God think of homosexuals? Or how does God see homosexuality? He sees it as a sin. And just like any sin, it will lead you down the path to eternal damnation. John MacArthur puts it a little more blatantly. These people practice a sin which excludes them from the kingdom of God. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will never belong to God's kingdom as long as they continually live in that lifestyle. So now we've looked at what God thinks of homosexuals through his word. Let's look at what we are called as Christians and how we need to respond. That's my next point. How do we respond? Is this it? This is a disgrace. You will never see me or any of the pastors of this church, nor will they tell you to do anything like this. This is not a Christian. This does not follow Paul's instruction in 1 Peter 3:15 and 16. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So how are we to respond? With gentleness and respect. We are called to share our truth, our hope, the gospel, with gentleness and respect. This does not include name-calling. This doesn't include heated debates where you're just yelling at each other. Things like emotional social media arguments, that's not gentleness and respect. Are we going to agree with everyone at all times? No. We can do it with gentleness and respect and humility. I'm sure there's things that you guys do that I probably wouldn't agree with. There's things that I do that you probably wouldn't agree with. We can have a conversation about it with gentleness and respect. And a little humility will go a long way as well. Another thing that we have to keep in mind as we are faced with this topic, and it goes for all sin, not just this arena of homosexuality. So when we respond, do not conform. Society is going to tell you to stop being a bigot. Stop being so intolerant. Well, you'll have to give in eventually. To that, I charge you with this verse. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not conform to the patterns, the behaviors, the customs of this world. This is not your home. Our society is currently in a state that is accepting and encouraging sinful sexual relations. The majority of America is celebrating the Supreme Court ruling to make it acceptable for sin to be practiced in this country. I say to you now more than ever, do not conform to the patterns or behaviors of this world. Just because society has deemed it legal to practice and carry on a lifestyle of sin does not mean that we need to conform and join the crowd. If tomorrow they legalize adultery, are all of you married men going to run out and start having unrepentance committed adultery with anybody you like? No, Of course not. God doesn't allow it. Okay, so maybe you're not actually going to do it, but what if your brother, your father, your son, what if they start conforming to the world? Oh, they said it's legal to commit adultery, so I'm going to go do it. You're just going to follow along with the crowd and accept it? God has set a standard, and as a Christian, you better fully understand it. He has clearly stated that homosexuality will forbid the inheritance of the kingdom of God. But Brent, it's a noble thing to do to accept them. We want them to be happy. And besides, love wins. I'm called to love them. I'll agree with you on that. We are called to love them. Love the sinner, not the sin. We are not called to love with a mushy-gushy feeling of love. This type of love that society is telling you to love with is fleeting in the wind. I'm talking about loving the way Jesus loves. Well, yeah, Brent, that's what I'm talking about. See, you're going to hear this more and more, and I've already seen a social media flood with this type of response. But let's really look at the love of Jesus. I talked already about it at the beginning of the message. Jesus didn't come to this earth because he had a mushy-gushy feeling of love towards us. Jesus came to this earth because he had a genuine love for us that hung him on a tree. Jesus did not love us and sit back and do nothing about it. Jesus loved you and I so much that he could not fathom the idea of you and I destined to hell for eternity. To think that this love ends with us is selfish and arrogant. This love that Jesus displayed was for all mankind. The adulterers, the murderers, the homosexuals, the sinner. When Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, he didn't say pick up a cross and then sit on the sideline and sit idle. He gave us a very specific mission to preach the gospel, to share truth, to lay our lives down because we love the lost. As a Christian, we have to ask ourselves, do we love ourselves and our comforts so much that we are unwilling to lay our lives down for the lost? This quote from Jeff Durbin. He recently gave a really awesome message on this, and I recommend you guys look it up. To sacrifice our comfort, our reputation, for the sake of the other person is the greatest act of love that you could demonstrate. If we simply sit back and just say, we need to love them and have no truth for them, if we don't say something as Christians to the world around us, it just shows something about us and how we feel towards the world. Hatred. If you see someone's lifestyle of unrepentant sin and you do not warn them about the judgment that is due to them, how can you truly sit back and say that you love them? God is the one that judges. And as a Christian, you and I know the standard by which God judges. So if you see someone blatantly going against God's standards and you know the judgment that is due to them, why would you not warn them? Do you not love them? To the love that I'm talking about forces you into action. Proverbs 24:11, rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. Jesus has given us a mission to love the lost, to preach the gospel. And oftentimes we forget about our mission and we just want to be rescued. So we say things like, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord. That is an ultimate act of hatred for your neighbor, your friends, your family, your coworkers. All of a sudden, we become a minority in a culture that needs Jesus more than ever. And we're saying, I'm saved, I'm forgiven, I have peace with God, get me out of here. To hell with these people. We are in the middle of our mission, and we want to throw in the towel? Jesus sent us into this world to be his hands and feet, and we want out? Jesus' prayer to his Father, Lord, he says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. As a church, we need to be looking at this and seeing that God has just revealed to us a very large community that needs the gospel. All week, I've been wrestling with this Supreme Court ruling and wrestling with emotions and fighting back my desire to come out swinging with the Bible. But God showed me that the church needed this. We needed something that was so in our face to ruffle our feathers and force us to dig into his word. Force us to find the truth that we need to share. God is using this to stir up his church. It ignite the fires that were once dwindling. God is using this to strengthen relationships with himself. And to be brutally honest, God is using it to weed out the church. There will be Christians that do not set apart Christ as Lord, do not make God the authority in their lives, and disregard the Holy Spirit. Then there will be those that are committed to being a follower of Christ, a Christian. Those that have a fear of God. And those that are led by the Holy Spirit, for those are the children of God. I just want to summarize real quick, and then I've got a little video clip that I want to show at the end. So God has made it very clear in the Bible his stance on homosexuality. Sin is sin. Unrepentant sin leads to death, eternal damnation, hell. God does not take pleasure in that thought. God loves all of mankind. God wants to see all mankind come to a loving, saving relationship with him. And us, as Christians in this room, we are to respond with gentleness and respect. And in that, we are called to love the sinner with a genuine love that moves us to share truth and set them and see them step from death to life. We are called to shine bright. We are the light of the world. I just want to pray, and then I'll show you a video clip right after I pray. So, God, we just thank you for your truth. Thank you that you are the authority in our lives as Christians, that you've set the standard, Lord. Thank you that you've given it to us clearly in your word, your expectations, Lord. But help us as Christians to step out in boldness, step out of our comfort zone, to share the truth that you've given us, to share the gospel, Lord, the saving relationship with you. Help us to just point people towards you, Lord. It's not about the Rock Church. It's not about us. It's about pointing them to you, Lord. You're the one that renews them. You're the one that gives them a new heart. Lord, I pray that you will come to this society, this culture that we have right now, Lord, and it will just make it clear to them, Lord, that they'd fall on their knees and they'd repent. Lord, anybody that's wrestling with this today, Lord, whether it's a friend or whether it's them themselves, Lord, I pray that you will just show them your love. Show them that there is hope. I pray that they would just dig into your word, Lord, and hear your promises that you have for them, Lord. I pray that you'll just show them mercy. Lord, we thank you that we do get to tackle this in a public place as a family, as a body of believers, Lord. Help us to just really let these truths sink in. Help us to just hear from the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit wants to lead us and guide us in conversation, and just as we leave here today, how we can put this into practice. We need you to lead us. We need you to take over in that. So we pray these things in your name. Amen.